Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. You better not ever go to cell block one. We've got that story, plus tick, bite, meat allergies. But first, on this kind of grody, not safe for work episode of New World Next Week, 610 UN Security Council adopts resolution placing Gaza under control of U.S.-led board. Grabbing this from the fantastic folks at antiwar.com, the UN Security Council adopted a U.S.-proposed resolution that places Gaza under control of a U.S.-led body dubbed the Board of Peace for at least 2 years and authorizes the deployment of an international force to the Palestinian territory that will operate under the watch of the U.S. military. And Trump didn't even get the Dynamite Nobel Award. The 15-member Security Council passed the resolution with 13 in favor and none voting against. Russia and China abstained from voting, choosing not to use their veto power to stop the resolution. Ahead of the vote, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Mike Waltz warned that a vote against the resolution was a vote to return to war. The resolution endorses the 20-point U.S.-Israeli Gaza plan released by the White House back on September 29th, which it refers to as the Comprehensive Plan. The resolution states that the Security Council welcomes the establishment of the Board of Peace, or BOP, which is Bureau of Prisons here in the States, which will be headed by Trump. It describes the BOP as a transitional administration with international legal personality that will set the framework and coordinate funding for the redevelopment of Gaza pursuant to the Comprehensive Plan. The UN resolution says the BOP will remain the authority in Gaza until the Palestinian Authority has satisfactorily completed its reform program, though Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has repeatedly rejected the idea of the PA having a role in Gaza, and whether the Palestinian Authority has reformed enough to take over in Gaza would likely be up to the U.S. and Israel. In related news, diplomatic crisis between China and Japan deepens, and Trump stuns press in defending Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, over the Khashoggi murder as Saudis flaunt a $1 trillion investment. But James, of course, the big story here is the peace plan in greater occupied Palestine. James?
Yes. What kind of peace plan will it be? Well, let's take a hint from that from a recent independent.co.uk article. Who is set to be on Trump's Board of Peace? Tony Blair, named as part of Israel-Gaza plan. Tony Blair would have a central role in any post-war plans for the beleaguered Palestinian enclave laid out by Washington. That says it all. Do I need to say anything else to anyone who has any glimmer of hope? Wow, this is going to be a wonderful peace. War criminal Tony Blair is going to be on this Board of Peace as a central figure, talking about how to divvy up and turn Gaza into Trump Gaza. I guess it is happening, guys. This is what I voted for. Anyway, I do not think this is going to be the everlasting peace in the Middle East that everyone has been praying for, but why poo-poo it before it happens? We'll just see. On the China-Japan note, I can say that is a pretty big story over here. For people who haven't seen the latest, basically the new Japanese prime minister in the revolving door of Japanese prime ministers, who is an Iron Maiden enthusiast, as you might have noticed, is also stirring things up. And of course, she floated the hypothetical. Are there any instances in which Japan can use its self-defense force proactively as a military to aid its allies or what have you? And yes, if China went in and took over Taiwan, blah, 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 which, of course, opened the diplomatic floodgates. And we have a big diplomatic brouhaha right now. I think one of the consuls of China in Osaka post-tweeted something about, like, the head that sticks out must be cut off or something like that before it was deleted and blah, 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 and mass cancellations of Chinese visitors to Japan. It's the biggest diplomatic row here for at least a decade or two, so anyway, that's developing. And yes, Trump praising MBS, head chopper MBS. Well, I guess he's just jumping on the comedy festival bandwagon. But ka-ching, ka-ching, where the dollars are flowing. Why not, right?
Well, you know, and you can't always just hang out with the president of Al-Qaeda, as we joked last week.
Oh,
James,
yeah.
you know I covered on my morning show that your new prime minister is a metal fan and a heavy metal drummer and just kind of all around like like aggro dude. So Tony Blair, huh? I guess George Bush wasn't available. He's too busy painting. And recall from Trump version one, the Stolen Heights, Trump Heights. Remember, they've already made Jerusalem the capital. So this really is the continuation of a lot of this, and maybe we can call it the In Pieces plan. That's our first story on This New World Next Week, episode 610. Our second story, we move to the strange and gross as New Jersey pilot first known fatality from meat allergy caused by a tick bite. Congress to the military. Did you weaponize ticks? A New Jersey dad who collapsed and died after eating a hamburger has been identified as the first known fatality from a rare meat allergy caused by a tick bite. The 47-year-old victim, younger than me, an otherwise healthy airline pilot, is the first known death from alpha-gal syndrome, AGS, a disease spread by bites from the Lone Star tick that has sickened hundreds, according to a study published by researchers at the University of Virginia. The otherwise unidentified New Jersey dad first noticed red meat made him sick after eating steak on a family camping trip during the summer of last year, leaving him writhing in pain, having diarrhea and vomiting. "I thought I was going to die," he told his son the next morning, according to the study. Yet 2 weeks later, he's like, "I'm gonna get back on that horse again." 2 weeks later, September 2024, the pilot and his wife attended a barbecue back in New Jersey where he had a burger. Just 4 hours later, his son found him on the floor of the bathroom in a pool of vomit. He died later that night. It was initially labeled a sudden, unexplained death, of which there seems to be many these days, but blood tests confirmed alpha-gal syndrome, the obscure condition triggered by a bite from the Lone Star tick, you know, like the Spanish flu that came from the Kansas military base. A bite from a Lone Star tick that causes severe allergic reactions to beef, pork, and lamb. Dr. Gates tensed his fingers in excitement. Confused by how her healthy hubby had died, the wife turned to a pediatrician friend who sent a blood sample to researchers, and after a slew of tests, the researchers asked if the man had ever been bitten by ticks. The wife said, "Oh yeah, 12 or 13 chigger bites around his ankle, which are assumed to be from the Lone Star ticks." James, I always remember hearing commercials back in the day when I was a little kid, and I've probably said this on this show. I know I've said it on my own shows before. Growing up, a little kid playing in the woods, playing outside, when you came home at night, it was, "Let's check your head for ticks before you go to bed." In the pilot's case, well, that is to say, they would mention chiggers on commercials, and I was always like, "Oh my God, that sounds like the worst thing. Ticks are bad enough. I don't want to know." In the pilot's case, researchers are particularly surprised that the only symptoms were vomiting and nausea before he croaked. As the name suggests, the tick is actually from the southern U.S., but migrated northward due to warming temperatures and large deer populations that serve as breeding grounds for their larvae. Lone Star ticks have recently spread to Long Island. I guess they're maybe going back to their hometown of the Plum Island area. The significance of this case is that a large and increasing population of the United States is being exposed, both because the tick is moving north and because there are now large populations of deer in many states. James, deer hunting here in the States pretty much starts like right about now. In good news, Oxitec withdraws their application to release its GM mosquitoes in Australia as France's birds start to show signs of recovery after the bee-harming pesticide ban. James, that's the Food World Order segment of This New World Next Week episode.
Wow. Well, absolutely horrific in a number of ways. And for people who need the context on this meat allergy tick bite syndrome, I will throw in the link to episode 405 of the Corporate Report podcast on designing humans for fun and fun and profit, where you can watch bioethicist S. Matthew Liao at a conference on the ethics of altering the human genome about a decade ago, salivating over the prospect of, you know, now we can design humans, we can genetically alter them so that they can be allergic to, say, meat, because we know eating meat is bad for the planet. So if we want to stop that, we could actually engineer that into human beings. And he, of course, cites the case of the Lone Star tick, and they can bite you and you can develop a meat allergy, and we could do that. So anyway, I'll just put that on the table as just an interesting extra piece of information there. But while we're talking about genetic modification and all these monstrosities, might as well throw this on the table. This one from Sean behind the banner, bringing this to my attention. Sam Altman and husband reportedly working to genetically engineer babies. What could go right?
Babies, yeah. Babies to stare into orbs so you can get some yeah. free money. Good grief. And again, they'll play these things as though they're accidents, and they'll tell us we're crazy for ever seeing patterns in these world events. But what a perfect accidental allergy exactly to the thing they already don't want you to do, because eating meat is bad and you'll own nothing and they'll be happy. To continue on this grody New World Next Week, episode 610, show business is politics for pretty people. Did Donald Trump have sex with Bill Clinton? I know you've heard about this story out there. Bizarre Epstein email has everyone wondering. And this combines like pro wrestling, rap beefs, certified pedophiles. I told you this would be a not safe for work New World Next Week episode. We'll take it from the first time, I believe, from LGBTQNation.com. Who is Bubba and why did Trump blow him? That's the question among thousands posted on social media last Friday after an email exchange between sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein and his brother surfaced, which references Donald Trump and an unknown individual named Bubba. What's your boy Donald up to now? Wrote Epstein's brother Mark in March 2018. All good. Bannon with me. Jeffrey Epstein responded, referencing Steve Bannon, of course, Trump's short-lived chief of staff in his first term. Ask him if Putin has the photos of Trump blowing Bubba, Mark Epstein wrote back. And I thought I had Suris. T-S-U-R-I-S, Jeffrey Epstein replied, using the Yiddish word for trouble. Oi, I thought I had the Suris. The unearthed email exchange, one of more than 20,000 released by the House Oversight Committee 1 week ago, has thrown more fuel on the fire of the so-called Epstein hoax, dogging President Trump and Republicans, and I would say the entire left-right socio-political paradigm, you know, just for the last decade or so. The Bubba emails ignited a firestorm of speculation, with most zeroing in on former President Bill Clinton, well known in Arkansas in his Arkansas days as Bubba. They also inspired Trump just hours after the Bubba emails hit the internet to, order the attorney general to investigate the Democrats that are named in the tranche of emails released. Trump changes course, says House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files, and indeed they do. Senate unanimously approves the bill to force release of Epstein files, and the absolute latest I have for you on this is, don't hold your breath. Despite congressional action, quick release of Epstein files is in doubt. The Justice Department has said little about its plans, and the new disclosure legislation contains major loopholes. Now, what if Trump is to Epstein as Drake is to Kendrick? Now, stay with me here in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. I have been following this stupid story on Media Monarchy. I didn't call it Media Monarchy for nothing. There's two rappers fighting. Drake, Kendrick Lamar feud. On May 4th, 2024, Kendrick Lamar, seen more recently doing the Crip dance with Serena on the Superb Owl, released the song Not Like Us. In the track, Lamar explicitly refers to Drake and members of his inner circle as pedophiles, saying, quote, "Say, Drake, I hear you like him young. You better not ever go to Cell Block 1. And also referencing Drake's album Certified Lover Boy and called him Certified Pedophiles. Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably a minor, an allusion to the accusations of pedophilia against Drake and his crew, became a cultural meme in its own right, with fans loudly chanting the line in later performances. And this is not like your dad's rap beefs of East Coast versus West Coast. It's been really, I think, kind of interesting lawsuits and legal wars ever since then. Again, interesting from a media law standpoint. I did do a little bit of that in school. Drake demands to see Kendrick contract details in discovery battle with Universal Music Group. You might know them as the largest media corporation in the galaxy. That's where your rebel rappers are hanging out on. In a declaration filed in federal court seeking to compel document production from UMG chairman and CEO Sir Lucian Grange, named in the Diddy files. He is in Whitney's web. At the center of the dispute is Drake's allegation that UMG had contractual authority over Kendrick Lamar's music and deliberately chose to release and promote Not Like Us, which Drake claims contains defamatory allegations about him. Most recently, Drake drops Wasserman Music booking agent that he shared with Kendrick Lamar. They use the same booking agent for their mortal enemies. The two-party illusion, I guess, works in pop music as well. And it just brings me to the question, aren't Drake and Kendrick on the same exact record label? Yes, both Drake and Kendrick Lamar are associated with Universal Music Group, but through different labels within the company. Drake is signed to Republic, a division of UMG, while Kendrick Lamar is signed to Interscope, a division of UMG. Both artists operate under the UMG umbrella, so they're literally on the same team. And if you think about it, after the, again, the hilarity of the meme sphere world of Trump is gay seems kind of stupid. From the quotes, it's kind of how dudes talk smack to each other. Hey man, what are you doing? Your mom. Or is Trump bisexual then? Remember, the worst thing is that he said grab him by the pee and all the rape accusations and all of that. But really, in nature, animals hump to show dominance, and it maybe doesn't have anything to do with being gay. Trump is to Epstein as Drake is to Kendrick. James, what do you think?
A wild ride, but I'm along with you for it, especially, yes, exactly right. They're on the same team. They're playing for the same team. Maybe the analogy is more like the sports analogy. They're on different teams, maybe, but they're playing for the same league, and it's all owned by the same people, right? And that is if you want to think of it this way, they're all dwellers of the same swamp. And they may fight with each other for dominance of that swamp, but at any rate, they're still just swamp dwellers. And maybe another piece of that puzzle that we can put in here. Prince Andrew's biographer says Melania was sleeping with Jeffrey Epstein before she met Trump. But apparently, Melania Trump is waging a legal war to erase any Epstein rumors, but Andrew Launey just won't go away. So for people who haven't seen it, Andrew Launey in one of his recent lectures was talking about his new book about Prince Andrew and how Trump and his legal team got the publisher to remove the reference to the fact that Epstein introduced Melania to Trump. After 60,000 copies of the book had already been printed and were already on store shelves. So he says it's kind of ridiculous. But he also added as an extra nugget, oh yeah, well, Jeffrey Epstein was sleeping with Melania before Trump, and that's what he's really angry about. But anyway, yay, okay, whatever. They're all swimming in the same swamp, and they are all involved in this. And that is the real point of this. So yes, my take on whatever Epstein files may or may not be released, I'm not exactly holding my breath. As we are speaking, as we're recording this, the latest episode of my podcast has just dropped, episode 486 on Donald and Jeffrey's Wonderful Secret, where I go through this release and what it may or may not contain and et cetera, et cetera. But long story short, there is a word in the act that has just been passed. That is the key word, unclassified. Release all unclassified documents from the Epstein files, which, you know, they're just going to claim national security on anything that's of any genuine interest or threat to the power establishment. So I am not holding my breath that this is going to be the release that people have been waiting for falsely all this time. But on the other side, I think the thing that's coming out of this is now we even have absolute milquetoast, mainstream, lamestream, dinosaur, legacy, mockingbird, repeater reporters out there writing op-eds about, you know, turns out conspiracy theorists are right and it is Eyes Wide Shut out there. Yeah, well, good. Thank you for joining reality to, you know, decades too late when it's very, very safe to do so. But anyway, it's undeniable now. All of the crazy stuff that we've been talking about for decades now. Oh, it's finally coming out, and finally they cannot deny it anymore. So I think that's something. We're winning in the court of public opinion, which is potentially the only court we're going to win in while this fake and jury-rigged establishment court system exists.
If that court of public opinion would also vote with their dollar, I guess we could say. And maybe we'll get a MK Ultra-style subject to release and leak all of these files from the inside. We haven't had a big leaker from the inside of the military industrial complex lately. Maybe we need one from inside the pedo industrial complex. Good grief. James, and of course, the memes. I mean, we might have some examples of the swamp and maybe who drained the swamp. That is New World Next Week, episode 610. We run newworldnextweek.com for media and Corbett gear and the media. That's the work. Again, you've never seen any ads in any of our work supporting us that way. Again, with some made in America organic products and with the Corbett Report USB drives and the downloads and all of that. That's another way, again, to support our work. As you have said, James, we've been doing this for about a combined 40 years. And I always play the exclusive audio before this episode is published. Only me and James and Brock and Sean behind the banner have heard it. I air it after my Thursday morning monarchy. That is at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, that's 610.
Another one in the bag, and probably many hundreds more to go, maybe thousands. Anyway, we'll keep doing it as long as the world continues to be crazy. So I think we'll be here for a while. Looking forward to doing it again, James. Thanks for these stories.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.